I pray for our relationships, all of them. All of the relations that we have with all the people in our lives. Give us great wisdom and skill in dealing with other people, interacting with other people. Help us, Lord, when things get heated, when there's conflict. Help us to do the right thing. Use your word this morning in our lives to encourage us, to equip us for all of the issues that we might face in this life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I decided to try something new and different this year. So I am the coach of the El Paso Homeschool Elementary Boys Basketball Team. Thank you very much. My son's on the team and four other boys, five of us. So if somebody fouls out, we're in big trouble. This has been a very big stretch for me, for you see, I am terrible at basketball. I don't know a whole lot about basketball, but we're doing very good and we're having a good time, and all that to the credit of the players, not me as the coach, I should add. But one of the things that I have found, the most difficult thing about being a coach of just these five boys, is just simply helping them to get along. It's not so much basketball skills, dribbling, or stuff like that. It's just getting them to stop fighting. Just to have that team that's together, that's in unity. Last Thursday, there was an incident in our practice. They were not getting along. Tempers were high. Insults were thrown. Even tears were shed. And we were right in the middle of a scrimmage, and I had to stop the scrimmage and tell the other coach, look, we can't do this. And I had to set all these five guys down and cool them off and get it all settled. And I was telling another coach about what had happened, and this person said to me, oh, the most difficult thing in life, human relations. Human beings getting along with other human beings. I really do. I think that is the toughest thing we face. We can face conflict like that in every single area of our lives. Conflict on the basketball court, in the workplace, in the classroom, in the neighborhood. Conflicts in church. Conflicts in the home between siblings, between parents and children. We can all relate to this morning. In fact, I'll bet every single one of us this morning can think of at least some conflict that we're having with another human being in the neighborhood or in your office or somewhere. It's widespread. We're in them. We can also even face conflicts in the most intimate of relationships. In a marriage relationship, there can be conflict. And lots of times the conflicts in those intimate relationships can be very big because we're so close to one another. Before Kim and I got married, we took some premarital classes at our home church back in Albuquerque. We were a part of like five other couples that met with, a veteran married couple. And they took us through some material and prepared us for marriage. And I will never forget, one evening, the counselor began the lesson with this statement. He said, marriage frees you to fight. Marriage frees you to fight. Now, all these couples are in love. They're engaged. And you should have seen our eyes get, what? I'm not getting married to fight. But then he went on to clarify. He said, right now, you two are on your best behavior. Every time you see each other, you look great. Oh, the chocolates are being brought, the flowers. He even opens the door for you. But after you say, I do, that will free you to be more of who you really are. The hair gets let down a little bit more, right? And we begin to see each other for who we really are. And he just challenged us. He said, there will be conflict in your marriage. Two sinners living under the same roof. There will be conflict. And then he took that session to really take us through and prepare us and get us ready on how to resolve conflicts wisely. And that's what I'd like us to do this morning. Proverbs gives us wisdom for learning about life, for living life. And since there's so much conflict that we do face in life, as you might expect, Solomon has a lot to say about how to deal with it. So look at verse 3, chapter 20. Solomon writes, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. NIV puts it like this, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. English Standard Version puts it this way, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. The best way to fight wisely is not to fight at all. Amen? And according to God's word, the wise person avoids strife. The wise person stays aloof from strife. The fool is quick to quarrel. The fool is always quarreling. So the idea here is, we need to be people who have learned how to avoid as much quarreling and strife in life as possible. We don't want to spend our life quarreling with people all the time, do we? Quarreling with people all the time, fighting with people all the time in every area of your life, that doesn't bring you joy. That doesn't bring you good relationships or good friendships. That doesn't bring you peace and tranquility in your home, does it? When there's fighting all the time. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Fighting with people all the time distracts you. It will take your focus off of what you need to be focusing on. There's goals. There's things that we should be involved in life. And if you're always fighting with people, it takes your eye off the ball, doesn't it? Wastes a lot of time, a lot of emotional energy. Stan Mikita, a professional hockey star, used to get into a lot of fights during the games. That all stopped when his 8-year-old daughter asked a very grown-up question. Daddy, how can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box? If you're one that's always fighting with people, you are so distracted. People that are always fighting with other people, very seldom do they get things settled. It's just a fight. Publius Syrus said, in quarreling, the truth is always lost, it seems. So Solomon would say the most simple way to fight wisely is not to fight at all. Avoid all the strife that you can in life. And you say, well, great, Terry, how do we do that? Look at 19. Chapter 19, verse 11. Solomon gives us wonderful principles for how to keep as much strife as possible out of our lives. Verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Hear that. Understand that. See that. The glory of a wise person, the glory, is to overlook a transgression. It says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, I'll just read this to you. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. I love that. The wise person overlooks transgressions. The wise person overlooks insults. You've heard that phrase, like a water off a duck's back. What does that mean? You ever seen water collect on the back of a duck? You don't. The water just rolls right off. And the idea is we need to be people that don't let insults collect on our back. Or transgressions. In other words, we need to be people that let a whole lot of things go. Let a whole lot of things go. Don't be so sensitive. Don't go into personal defense mode so quickly. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Your love will cover up a lot of junk. That word overlook means let it pass right over. Don't let it touch you. Ignore it. There are so many things that can be said to us in life that are hurtful, aren't there? There's so many things that people can do to us and we can let it bug us. But the wise persons that overlook many of those things. If you start to react to everything, what happens? Lots of more fighting. Bigger fights. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. And one of the ways to stop contention is to just ignore certain things. Over the last couple months, my two oldest children, Lindsay and Connor, have found a little button that they can push on my youngest, Dylan. And I don't know where it came from, but apparently a couple months ago, they started calling Dylan Angus. Now, I don't know. I think it's a great name. If you have Angus as a name, I think it's a cool name. But for some reason, if you call Dylan Angus, he goes berserk. He goes absolutely nuts. And so, of course, Connor, Lindsay, Angus, 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 Angus. And so I've had to have conversations with them, of course, with Connor and Lindsay saying, don't call him Angus. Leave that alone. But I also had a really good discussion with Dylan about this whole thing. Hey, let's try an experiment. I said, come aside. Next time they call you Angus, don't even respond. Don't even hear it. They want to see you get all upset. That's why they say it. And so he goes, he thought about it. And he said, and he tried it. And a couple of days later, he came back to me and he said, Daddy, it worked. And it did. You know, if you don't respond to certain things, people stop yelping. Just let things go. By the way, don't test it on him after church. Don't say, Dylan, are you Angus? You know, he may prove me wrong, but he did good the other day with it. You know, when people offend you, when people insult you, when people make mistakes, you know, consider some things, ask some questions. You know, give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they said something that they didn't mean. Have you ever said something that you didn't mean? It came out wrong? Maybe they did that to you. Maybe they're having a bad day. Ask yourself questions like this. This person who has offended me so greatly, does he know Jesus or not? Is he a believer or a non-believer? If he's a non-believer, that should dramatically change the way you're going to respond. Maybe it's another Christian. How long has this person been walking with the Lord? How mature are they? What's their experience? What's their character? What's their depth? Ask questions like this. In the grand scheme of things, does this really matter? Choose those battles wisely. Overlook offenses. Overlook insults. Don't respond. And of course, even if things people do really, really notable bad things to you. Yeah, I mean, you got to respond to that, but in the heart of a Christian, there's always forgiveness. New Testament tells us to forgive people. And our motivation is how much Jesus Christ has forgiven us. The Scripture tells us to forgive people their sins because it takes away the bitterness that can well up in our own hearts and destroy us from the inside out. Overlook many things. That would be Solomon's counsel. Look over at chapter 26. And look at verse 17, speaking about avoiding as much strife as possible. Interesting verse. Solomon says in 26:17, "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears." In other words, mind your own business. Do not get involved in the quarrels that other people are having. If you do so, it's like taking a dog by the ears. Now, we don't really understand that in our society. In our society, dogs are cute, right? They're domesticated. I have this wonderful golden retriever, and I grab him by the ears all the time. And he just loves it, you know, pet me some more. But in the ancient days, they weren't domesticated, they were wild. Nobody would think of grabbing a wild dog by the ears. You'd get your lip bit off or your nose. You'd get bloody. And so the idea Solomon is saying is here is don't meddle in somebody else's fight or you're going to get bloody. You're going to get bit. And I think that's an important thing to consider if you want to eliminate a lot of strife. Don't be that person who's the hero in your family trying to solve everybody's problems all the time. Or the hero in your office trying to get involved in every quarrel. Now, there's times where you got to get involved, especially if you're the manager and you have employees that aren't getting along. You need to do that. And I would certainly say we need to get involved in other people's fights if somebody helpless needs defending. But other than that, stay out of, stay neutral, don't take sides, and don't get involved unless somebody asks you for advice. And once asked, give objective, biblical counsel. But you don't have to run around getting involved in everyone else's little arguments. Avoid that. It'll get you bloody. Look at verse 18 and 19. I just noticed this casually this week. It says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Now, obviously, that's speaking about a neighbor who really wants to do wrong to another neighbor and then has an excuse and calls it a joke. But, you know, the Spirit just said to me, Terry, be careful how you joke around with other people. It brings up joking there. And I just, you know, I'm one of those jokers. I like to kid around with people. And, you know, joking's okay, but sometimes we can be so sarcastic and clever that we hurt people. Joke about yourself more than you joke about others. Amen? Laugh about yourself, then you laugh at others. All those sorts of things to think about to avoid strife. And then, of course, there's been many subjects that we've considered in Proverbs that would add to this. There are character qualities that cause strife, that promote strife, if you remember. Pride in your heart will cause strife. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25 says, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. We've also studied how anger, uncontrollable anger, obviously promotes strife. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife. and a furious man abounds in transgression. We've also spoken about how the fact that gossip creates all kinds of strife in other people's lives and in your own life. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So all those things to consider. To avoid as much strife in your life, overlook a lot of things. Don't get involved in other people's fights unless you absolutely have to or are asked. Watch the joking. Stay humble in your heart. Get control of that strong emotion that we call anger. And for goodness sake, stay from all gossip. Great, great ways to eliminate a whole lot of strife in your life. But there are some fights that you have to fight. There are some conflicts that you have to stick it in and resolve. There are some battles that you have to choose to fight. You can't just ignore everything. And so now what I'd like to do is turn from how to eliminate as much strife in your life to this idea of how do you fight wisely? What should we consider when we get in that conflict? There may be a conflict at work that you have to deal with. An issue in your neighborhood that you have to deal with. An issue with your spouse or a child that you have to deal with. How do you work through those things? What does God's Word say? I want to give you four principles, and the first principle is the most important. If you are a Christian, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in that conflict. You know, as Christians, we have the best resource available to us of all resources. God Himself. He's our counselor. He's our Father. And if you are in any type of conflict, or you have to, you know, go and confront somebody, or there's an issue that you have to deal with, man, go to God first and pray about it. And pray honest prayers. God can handle your honesty. Did you know that? He knows what you're thinking anyway. You know, vent on God. Give Him all your frustration. Give Him all your concerns. Give Him all your hurt. You know, Lord, I don't appreciate the way this person did this or that or said this or that. Bring those hurts before your Lord and pray about it. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, we are commanded, cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you and He has big, strong shoulders. Pray about it. And here's one of the prayers you can pray a whole lot before you have to go and speak with this person in the midst of a conflict. Psalm 141:3, the psalmist prayed, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Great prayer. Awesome prayer. And then also as a Christian, what should we do? No matter what circumstance, no matter what conflict you're in, you're going to have to go speak to this person or that person about it. Seek God's Word. Seek information from the Word of God that will help you. Look in the Scripture. And I am talking about in every single area of your life, whether it be a conflict at home or a conflict in your place of business, wherever it might be, God is interested in all those. Pray about it and go find out what the Word of God has to say about it. There were some Pharisees that came to Jesus one day and asked Him a question about divorce and remarriage. And I love the way Jesus responded to them. He answered and said to them, Have you not read? To the religious leaders. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh? He brought them back to the scriptures and he asked the religious guys, didn't you read? And so go to the scripture and read it. And let me tell you, there is a book that I'm going to recommend, and I think that every Christian should have this on their phone, on their bookshelf. The topical, NAV's topical study book of the Bible. Listen to this. Some wise people got together, they went through all of the Bible, and they found every single topic that you can possibly imagine and give you verses from the scripture that deal with every single topic. And so you can go to a topic on forgiveness or money management issues or whatever, how to deal with argument. You look it up and you can go right to the Bible verse that will tell you how you should act on that. Have you not read? So seek the Lord, pray. And you say, well, Terry, what about all those conflicts that happen right in the heat of the moment?
Don't have time to pray.
Really? You can pray quick prayers right under your breath. The Lord hears those quick ones. He probably listens to those even more than our long drawn out ones. Shortest prayer in Scripture. Peter, sinking. Lord, save me. And guess what? The Lord saved him. Pulled him right up out. Pray under your breath a lot. You say, well, what about the scripture? That's why it's so important for you to have a daily walk with the Lord. Reading the Bible daily. Every day you're building up arsenal. Spiritual food. Spiritual resources. Spiritual truth. Which the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind right in the midst of those moments where you need it. Seeking the Lord. Some practical ideas. Look in chapter 25. Proverbs 25, verse 8. Says, do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another. That's important advice there. Listen to what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. In Matthew chapter 18, a classic verse, Jesus said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. There's two very important principles in fighting, in resolving conflict. The scripture says, do everything you can to resolve things privately. Oh, listen, my friend. Go directly to the person who has offended you. Don't go to your friend. Don't go to their friend. Go to them directly. Now, of course, there's exceptions to that. If there's an issue between a man and a woman or there's some sensitive things like that, there needs to be witnesses. But in the most part, if anybody has wronged you, go to them. and try to get it settled privately. And then the other principle I see coming out of there, there's a sense of urgency to it. Get it done quickly. While you're on the way, keep it out of court. Settle it as soon as you can. Do not let certain issues fester. Do not let things stew up in your life. And here's where you really have to walk a balance line between two different truths in Scripture. We just saw one truth that said, overlook a lot of stuff. Right? And then we also see Scriptures that says, if somebody sins against you, go handle it. Go take care of it. And you know, we have to learn how to walk that balance, that line. Which are the battles that we want to fight? Some people go to the extreme on opposite ends. There are some people that will go to their brother and confront them on everything. Then there are some that will not confront anybody on anything. And I'll admit to you, that's one of the things I learned about myself. I'm pretty easygoing. It's not like that I'm afraid of confrontation. I don't want to have to do it. And I've learned over the years, man, if you let certain issues sit there and fester when you do have to deal with it, there's a blow up. That line we must learn to walk. And all I can say to you is live and learn. And spend a lot of time depending upon the Holy Spirit and how you deal with these conflicts in your life. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. A couple other principles. Obviously, and we've seen this before in Proverbs, whenever you are in a conflict with somebody and you have to speak with a person, you always be respectful of that person. You always use respectful words. You show respect. Lots of verses in Proverbs speak of that. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Obviously, that's not respecting somebody when you say, hey, step outside. I'm going to beat you up. Never allow things to get violent. He who is devoid of wisdom, it says in Proverbs 11, despises his neighbor. Literally in the Hebrew, belittles his neighbor. Don't belittle people. Don't belittle their problem. Show people the respect they deserve. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Don't shout. Don't insult. Don't ridicule. Be respectful in every possible way. And did you know that you can say some tough things, but still be respectful? And I'm telling you, just showing people that respect will take a conflict and turn it into something that can become very, very beautiful. It can be resolved and become better even than you ever thought. It really can work. It's all in the manner of how you talk and your demeanor. And it works in every aspect of life. Kim's dad is an accountant, and for many years he was a real estate developer up in Albuquerque. And I'll never forget this story. He told me he was working with other developers in the Albuquerque community, and they were trying to get these apartments up. And the neighborhood didn't want the apartments to come up, and so it was turning into a huge fight between this neighborhood and this real estate. And a meeting was set up. And there was going to be a showdown, high noon. All of the developers were going to show up at this meeting. And everyone that represented that neighborhood, they were going to show up in this meeting. And the big excitement was that the CEO of the real estate development company, he's going to be there for this one. And he's going to come in and he's going to clean up. Kim's dad said everybody was so excited to see this guy just boom. Well, the big meeting came and the real estate CEO developer did show up. And he approached it with so much humility and compassion and respect, giving away so many things to this neighborhood. The issue was solved in a half an hour. A compromise was, and everyone went home happy. And all the other developers were like, we missed the knockout punch. But we got the job. That compromise. And I've talked to many Christian businessmen and women, and they will tell you the same thing. You want to succeed in business, you know how to respect people and work with people. Very, very important. Every single person that we deal with has been made in the image of God. And they are, and God loves them, and they're valuable to God. Let's show them that respect. And then obviously the next principle that has to be done when you're handling a fight or a conflict, there's got to be effective communication. There absolutely has to be effective communication. And we've spoken a lot about effective communication in Proverbs. Remember, Proverbs says that he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. If you want to get things settled, you've got to become a good listener. You've got to listen more than you speak. You've got to keep to the issue at hand. Come to an understanding of the problem that people are having. Listen to understand. And keep to that issue. Don't bring up things from the past. Have you ever argued with somebody and they say, well, you remember back in 1973 when you did this or that? Wow. Good memory. How people can divert attention from the issue at hand. Keep to the topic. Speak softly. Speak truthfully. Speak positively. Be upbeat. You say, Terry, it's easier to say that than to do that. I realize that. But I'm telling you, you have to work at it. You have to approach the conflicts in life mentally prepared, spiritually prepared. Going into a conflict, realizing that all kinds of emotions are going to run, but I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to stay on track. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And you can be positive in every single thing. You can put a positive spin on everything if you really think hard enough. I love the kid who brought his report card home to Dad, and he had terrible grades. And he said, Daddy, you should be proud. You know I'm not cheating. Takes a lot of skill. Takes a lot of work. But it can be done. Use humor. Find compromise. Years ago, a large statue of Christ was erected high in the Andes on the border between Argentina and Chile. Called Christ of the Andes, the statue symbolizes a pledge between the two countries that as long as the statue stands, there will be peace between Chile and Argentina. Shortly after the statue was erected, the Chileans began to protest that they had been slighted. The statue had its back turned to Chile. Just when tempers were at their highest in Chile, a Chilean newspaper man saved the day. In an editorial that not only satisfied the people but made them laugh, he simply said, the people of Argentina need more watching over of than the Chileans. And it just sort of brought everything together. Do you believe that God can heal your conflicts? He can. Do you believe that God can give you good friendships and relationships? He can. And I would pray, may the Lord bless us as we go out and we try to resolve the conflict that's in our lives today. And may we be prepared for the conflicts that are going to come tomorrow, doing it the right way. So many issues in life that Proverbs touches on. So much wisdom, so many, and there's more issues to come. We're going to be speaking in the next several weeks about marriage, about parenting, about money management and different things. And there's so many things in life and so many complexities in life. And we need so much wisdom to live life the way God wants us to. I, for one, as a Christian man, am so glad that I do have God as my resource. I am so glad that I can call God my Heavenly Father. And that He has given me His Spirit. And that as I live through my life and all the different complexities that I face in life, I don't have to face them alone. I can go to my Lord. Nothing better. Do you have that in your life? Do you have a relationship with God by which you can call Him your Heavenly Father? And where He instructs you and leads you down the path of wisdom in every area of life. Let me close by giving you an invitation to have Him as your Father if you haven't done that yet. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll have the worship band come up. Lord, first I pray again that You would give us as Your people great wisdom in this life. Great discernment. Please help us to learn to pick the battles wisely. And Father, by Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would give us the power to do the right thing. Lord, I don't pray for naivety in any of our lives, but I do pray for gentleness, kindness. And Father, I want to thank You for the simple fact that many of us here this morning can call You Father, and that You are a Father to us. I would pray for anyone here this morning who can't say that. Maybe you're here and you've never thought of God as a Father. The Bible says you can become His child, adopted into His family. God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to make it possible for us to become children of God. Jesus came and took our sins upon Himself and died on the cross for our sins. Thereby paying the penalty that we deserve to pay as sinners. He rose again that third day and He's alive today. The Scripture says if you place your faith in Jesus, your sins are forgiven, you become born again, and you become a member of His family. Literally having God as your Father who will walk with you and give you great skill in living out this life. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's never received Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want you to have an opportunity to do that this morning. If you've never received Christ, if you've never become born again, you do so simply by raising your hand, by saying a prayer, asking Christ to be your Savior. Raise your hand up high if that's you, and I will lead you in a prayer. We can settle that issue right now. Anybody here this morning? God bless you. I see you over here. Anybody else? Anybody else need to make that decision? May it change your life. So pray this prayer with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, rising again. I place my faith in you. Be my Savior. Make me a child in your family. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would bless these commitments, these decisions. That today would be a watershed milestone moment for them. A day never to be forgotten. You raised your hand and prayed that prayer, or you prayed that prayer without raising your hand, I'm going to ask you after the service, go to my right, your left, right here in the prayer room. We'd like to share some things with you, give you a little bit of counsel to get you started. Let's all stand, brothers and sisters. Hug and a farewell. Amen. God bless you.